What's up, Foundry? We're so glad you guys are here tonight. Now, we know this is a little different than how we've done it the past couple weeks, but as we really begin to think about how can we best set up our groups moving forward over this next month, we love the idea of interactive teaching. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to be walking through a passage of Scripture together, and I'm going to be pausing at different moments and offering questions for you guys to dig into the text and to begin to have discussion and wrestle with together tonight, to look to the text and then have a conversation about what does this look like for us and how then do we live in light of what God's word says. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to jump in with our new series called Now What. Lord, we thank you for time together. God, we pray that simply your word would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, and that we could see how your word speaks into our lives right now in this moment, just like it did as you spoke and as you offered yourself in the moments we see in Scripture. God, we love you. Father, we thank you for who you are. It's in your holy and precious name. Amen. So, hey, we're going to be in a series moving forward called Now What? And we love the idea of this series because Now What is this idea of tension. And we find ourselves in a Now What moment in Scripture, coming off of the crucifixion and resurrection, just like we find ourselves in a Now What moment in our culture today. Right, in text, as we look tonight in John 20, we're coming off of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. They've experienced the death, and they've heard rumors of the resurrection in a moments of the encounter of the resurrected Christ. But as we pick up in John 20, we're going to find the disciples in a now what moment, locked in the room for fear of the Jews. All of them in this shared experience in different moments of the journey along the way and different understandings of what's going on individually. And we see Christ show up in the midst of that. Likewise, but in a different way, in a completely different shared experience, we find ourselves in a now what moment, in the tension of, hey, we've been in this for about a month, this idea of COVID and this ordeal of COVID, and now we're beginning to feel like we turn the corner, we see what might be to come, we see signs of hope, conversations of reopening our communities and our country, and now we find ourselves in a now what moment likewise, because we're not going to go back to normal. It's going to be different no matter how we open things back up. So now what? Now how do we live as disciples and believers in Christ and walk this out where we find ourselves individually and in the world around us? How do we offer this to those around us and live in the truth of this word in the midst of different circumstances and a different moment culturally? There's that tension there, and albeit two completely different experiences of it, it's that now what tension of now what as disciples, as believers, now what do we do and how do we live in light of the truth of the text, the truth of the word of God? So that's what we're going to pick up in John 20. And we're just going to dig into the first few verses here real quickly to help set up the interaction that's about to occur with Thomas and Jesus later in the chapter. But so we pick up in verse 19. It's the evening of Easter, and on the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. I mean, they had just killed Jesus. It wouldn't be a crazy next step for them to come after the disciples. So we see they're fearful, locked in the room. There's uncertainty. There's confusion. There's chaos all around them, honestly. And even we see in Luke that as we're about to see this interaction with Jesus occur, that as he shows up, he perceives their troubled hearts and the doubtfulness in them. So keep that in mind here as we begin to walk into this text. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So here's all this rumbling around in everybody in that room, the fear of the Jews going on, the uncertainty, confusion, the doubt, the troubled hearts, all this in different places with different people in the room, and Jesus shows up. And the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." Now, I gotta imagine that's the thing they were most desperate for in that room was peace. But Jesus isn't offering a feeling, isn't offering an experience or an expression of it. He's offering the truth of it. Peace be with you. And he shows them the marks of that peace and the wounds of that truth on his hands and his side. For what Jesus is saying is, "Peace be with you, the presence of God, I am with you. And you've been reconciled by the blood of the cross and brought into right relationship. You've been brought into peace with God." It's the truth of that moment of he has overcome sin and death. He has conquered the grave. He has returned, and he is their peace. It's not a feeling or an emotion that they have to chase after or try to find in the midst of these circumstances. It's the truth that they stand in that moment of the presence of Christ with them in their lives, the presence of God. Peace be with you. I am with you. What a powerful moment and a powerful reminder for them and a powerful truth that he speaks of. You have peace by the blood of the cross through Jesus Christ, and I am with you now. But it's not a magical moment because we see the humanity of the disciples meeting the deity of Christ, which I'm so thankful for. Because we see from Luke's account the troubled hearts, the doubtfulness, the fear that we already knew because they're locked in the room. So we see all the disciples' humanity meeting all of Jesus' deity in that moment. And he doesn't shun them away or turn them away for their fear or for their troubled hearts. He meets them in that place and says, peace be with you. Here's the truth. I am with you. I conquered these things. I'm greater than the fear, greater than the doubt. This is the truth. I am here. I am with you. That's an incredibly encouraging thing for me because if I'm honest, that's a lot of what my daily life feels like. I know he's with me. I have joy, but I have frustration and anger and sadness and doubt, and I wrestle with fear and I wrestle with these things, and it's just the humanity of who I am, and it's the presence, it's the Spirit of God meeting me in those places by the grace and mercy of God. If I looked at the text and I just saw the disciples a picture of perfection, I would feel like I could never do this. I could never get this right. I would feel this enormous pressure to try it. But by the grace of God, I don't have to. God's grace and mercy meets me where I'm at. That's the truth of peace be with you, that Christ conquered this grave of sin and death, that Christ did what we couldn't do to offer us what we didn't deserve in that moment, and that's peace with God. So I'm thankful that I can bring all of who I am to him just like the disciples did. And so this moment, this interaction sets up what's about to happen with Jesus and Thomas. Because we see there in verse 24, Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where he was. We just know he wasn't there. Thomas, called one of the 12, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Just isolated, cut off at that moment, disconnected for some reason. So the other disciples go and tell him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas gets a bad rap in Scripture. I'm just going to say it. He does, guys. Everybody knows him as Doubting Thomas, but I just want to propose to you that I believe he's Honest Thomas and that this is just a moment of his brutal honesty here. Back earlier in John, when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's talking about going back to Jerusalem, and the disciples are like, "No, Jesus, they'll kill you." And he says, "Okay, I'm going to go. You guys can come too if you want." Thomas is the one that stands up and goes, "Let us go with him that we may die too." That's not a man that doubts. This is just a man who has been crushed and devastated by the death of Jesus. And he's hurting and in pain and trying to figure out what's going on around him and in him. And he is just brutally honest in this moment. And he says, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And I love his honesty here because it could have been really easy for Thomas in that moment to just went along with what they were saying and say, "Yes, great, awesome, perfect, so good, amen and amen, God is good." Which is, I think, where we find ourselves a lot with people in our lives as they come to talk about us or share with us about what's going on, or, "Man, how good is this? How great is this? How is this?" And we're just not in that place. And so often we just feel like we have to fake it. We just feel like we have to say the right thing, act the right way, so that they don't know where we really are. We don't know. They don't know what we really struggle with, because what if they did? What if they knew I wasn't in that place that they were? See, Thomas's honesty in this moment invites God and others in to show up where he is. Thomas's honesty in this moment invites God and others in to show up where he is. incredible moment here. And so we pick up 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, that's the first thing he reminds them of. It's the truth he proclaims of peace be with you. I am with you. The presence of God is with you. I've conquered sin and death. I am here. You've been brought into right relationship with God, that you have peace by the blood of the cross through Christ Jesus. This is the truth now. And so I want to pause for a moment because he's repeated that twice now. And so I want us to take a moment in group together and wrestle with two questions around this idea of peace. Number one, simply, do you believe that you have peace with God by the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that you have access to that peace tonight? Number two, whether you say yes or no to the first question, an awareness of where we search for peace in our life is huge. So the second question is simply, where am I quick to look for peace in my life other than God? Where am I quick to look for peace in life other than God? Because if I don't know, if I really wrestle with the belief of if I have that, and even if I don't, I'm still going to find myself looking for peace, for that experience and that feeling in different places in my life. So it's helpful to be aware of where and how and what that looks like. Take a couple minutes, come back when you're ready to go to the next piece. Hey, so now we're back, and here's what I want to dig into real quickly, and I'm so excited about this. After he proclaims, "Peace be with you," and reminds them of that truth again, which is so encouraging to me because I need to be reminded of that truth daily in my life. He says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side, and do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus invites Thomas to satisfy himself in who he is, in who Christ is. Just as he invited all the disciples a week earlier to bring all of who they were, all of their humanity, the fear, the doubt, the joy, the uncertainty, all of who they are to him and rest and find peace in him and satisfy their self in him, he invites Thomas to do the exact same thing in that moment. Bring all your doubt, Thomas. Bring all your pain, all your hurt. See my side. See my hands. Satisfy yourself in me. Peace, Thomas. We don't even see the recording of Thomas's next step. All we see is that he proclaims a massive confession of faith and a statement of, "My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God." See, Jesus didn't just show up to satisfy Thomas. Jesus showed up to glorify himself. Jesus showed up to glorify himself, to speak truth into Thomas's life, and to invite him into a deeper and expanded faith in who God is and who he was in his life. See, God is always after our belief. And John, in the book of John, constantly comes after and points toward our belief in who God is. Because beliefs are massively important in our lives. Beliefs will dictate how we live our lives in so many ways. They'll dictate and drive how I live in light of what I believe. Because what I really believe will be what influences how I live my life. And so he comes at this and invites Thomas in to glorify himself, to deepen and expand his faith in who he is and who God is in his life because of the mission that they were about to be called to, the moment they were in. Jesus was taking them deeper into who he was and who he will be in their lives. Belief is a massively important thing. Not only do we see that with the interaction with Thomas, but John, a few verses later, even says that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Because as belief comes alive in our life, whether it's the first moment of belief that God brings alive, or whether it's in the good and the bad that he deepens and expands our belief in who he is in our lives, it is shaping and equipping us as we live in this to offer it to the world around us. That's the only way this works, as we begin to walk this out and live and wrestle with belief in our life and deepen and expand it and wrestle with it. And it equips us and prepares us to offer that to the world around us, because we really grow and understand the beauty of the grace of God in our lives. And that's what it's all about. As we begin to look at this idea of now what, we've got to really kind of come to this point of wrestling with belief tonight for a moment. And so I have two questions, two asks of you as a group, and then you all are free to do whatever you want. Number one, I just want to simply ask, hey, as a group, discuss, be honest, invite others and God in this moment to what's hard for you with belief right now. What's a place, what's a relationship, a moment, what's a wrestling place for you right now with belief in your life? And number two, maybe it's not a relationship or just a moment, or just maybe it's not just a place that you're really wrestling to believe God in your life. Maybe it's just belief in general that you are fighting and wrestling with. You've grown up in and around it. It's your parents, it's your friends, but I just wrestle with it, and I just don't know if I really even believe this. I want to invite you to have courage of Thomas and have the honesty of Thomas, and invite God and others into that place as well. Not to be kicked out, not to be shunned, but to let others come around you and to invite God into that place and let him show up and glorify himself. So the last thing we're going to do is pray for one another. We're going to pray for those moments, those places that are hard right now. And we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters that may even just be wrestling with belief at all. Guys, because just like the disciples were preparing for that now what, to live this out in light of what had just occurred, we're in a moment where we're preparing to live out the truth in the midst of the world around us right now and in the days, weeks, and months to come. And as our belief is shaped and deepened in who he is, and we wrestle with those things in our own life, it prepares us to offer it to the world around us. That's an exciting thing, to be a people that can offer hope and peace in the midst of a world that seems short on that right now. But to let people be met by those things in the reality of who they are. Not just the perfect pieces, not just the good pieces, but the fullness of who they are, meeting the fullness of who Christ is, as we offer that to the world around us, as we wrestle and struggle and live it out by grace, through grace. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. God, we thank you for time together tonight. Amen and amen.
Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still. Call the sea to still. The rage in me to still. Every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing. Once again, I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. The shadows can't deny.